Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Gemma, thank you very much for that. Now, An Garda Síochána is under-resourced when it comes to policing the capital. That's according to Dublin City Council Chief Executive Richard Shakespeare in an interview he gave to the Irish Times today. The model of policing in Ireland also needs updating, according to the former General Secretary of the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors, Antoinette Cunningham. We can take a listen now to some of what Antoinette Cunningham had to say this morning, speaking to Clare Byrne.
Well, we know that the Justice Minister last year gave an extra 50 million euros of overtime to allow Dublin City to be policed effectively. So that's not sustainable in the long term. The only thing that's sustainable in the long term is a greater Garda presence around the city. That's what people want. That's what gives people confidence that their city is safe, is when they see uniformed Gardaí. And that's just not in Dublin, Clare. That's right across the country. People in small towns, the towns like Clonmel and Nenagh, and rural areas especially, country places, don't feel they see enough uniform presence of An Garda Síochána. And that's why I'm just not convinced the current model that the Gardaí have is the right model of policing for this country.
Well, for some reaction to this, we're joined now on the line by former Garda Assistant Garda Commissioner Pat Leahy. And in a moment, we'll be speaking to Fine Gael Senator Barry Ward and Independent TD Verona Murphy. Pat Leahy, you're very welcome to the programme. Can I ask you, do you agree with the comments by Antoinette Cunningham?
I do. I agree with that particular one. And but I don't think anybody's going to argue with that at this stage, Sarah. I mean, the minister and all the key stakeholders have acknowledged following the riots that more policing was required in Dublin. In fact, they had done that beforehand. So, look, it's not a secret. That's the case. We absolutely need more resources in there. But I do think that the actual policing model needs to be changed now. I think it's time to stop and reflect on where the reform programme has brought us and look at the outcomes as opposed to the inputs that have taken place. And the outcomes really are not good, certainly for rural towns and villages. It hasn't been good, and we've seen from our own city centre that the outcomes are not what was expected. So I do think it is time to stop, have a look. And look, that's not unusual in these really, really large change functions in organisations. There was an enormous change that was required for An Garda Síochána, and it probably has gone past its sell-by date. We need to stop, reflect, look at what we need, and we do need to focus on our community orientation, because that seems to have been lost along the way. And okay, Now we're going back to a traditional command and control system.
Yeah, and that was what Antoinette Cunningham was outlining this morning, that this new policing model, which was adopted in 2018, had a new system whereby Gardaí would basically be centralised in towns as such, or villages, and they would be on call. They'd go out to places when they were needed, as opposed to be based in places. Is that the model that you're saying, or is that the aspect of the new model that you're saying isn't working?
It's part of it, Sarah, but look, we can't blame it all on what came after the Commission on the Future of Policing, because before that we engaged in closure of Garda stations. 139 Garda stations, we closed rural Garda stations when the people living in those areas were begging us to stay. It was what community policing was all about. We had it in the palm of our hands and we let it slip. There's not another place, or very few of them in the world, where locals are begging for their police force to stay and engage with them in an authentic relationship environment. And I think we squandered that, and I was vocal about it at the time. And if we don't reflect on that and reflect where it brought us, we're going to make further mistakes in this area.
Can I ask you finally then about this call for 18,000 Gardaí to make the current model as it stands work? That would be an increase of 4,000 from where we're at the moment. Drew Harris says it's not realistic.
Well, look, nobody's going to say no to 18,000. And I think, yes, it is time to look at a larger figure. So much has changed in our society over the last two decades that we do need to reflect on that. And I do think 18,000 is realistic. However, the research shows that more people and more funds doesn't reduce crime. It's what you do with them actually matters. So we do have to reflect on how we're going to use them. If we keep putting them into this traditional command and control structure, we won't see the benefits that we expect here. Okay. Either we change our orientation and get them back into communities, out visibility with ownership and responsibility. It's not just visibility on its own.
And sorry, and just to clarify, what do you mean by ownership and responsibilities? Is that they're based in the areas, like as you say, those rural guard stations?
You have to deploy you have to deploy them into areas, you have to give them ownership of the breakdowns of that area. So the guards have a responsibility, they have a commitment to their community. They're going to be there every day.
Okay.
They have an authentic relationship with people, that this just fly by night, passing through or going around the patrol cars, is not going to solve crime. It's not going to reduce the fear of crime. This is well documented. So we need to go back to looking at how we actually engage appropriately with communities.
Pat Leahy, very interesting insights, and thank you for joining us with that. I'll go now to Barry Ward and Verona Murphy, who are listening there in the line. And Barry Ward, you're in studio with us here. What do you think of what Pat Leahy has to say there? And Antoinette Cunningham, both pointing to the policing plan, firstly, and also, as you hear Pat Leahy there, to Royal Garda stations being closed. We need to get back to community policing.
Well, I agree with an awful lot of what Pat has said, and I've always supported the idea that we would have Gardaí living in the community. One of the ideas I've suggested to the minister is the idea that where there are buildings in particular communities, and I have family, for example, in Connemara, where they are now empty, they were former Garda stations, but they could be somewhere where a Garda could live. They wouldn't necessarily work there, but they would be in the community. And I think that's a helpful move. But it's exactly because of what Pat is saying that the government has initiated its local community safety partnerships. And there are pilot schemes running in three places around the country, in Longford. And I know my colleague Micheál Carrigy is working very well with that, Waterford and the North Inner City. And they're working on a pilot basis. Their website set up, people can interact directly with that. And that is very much a reinnovation of community policing with a view to making sure that communities are well served by the Gardaí. And one of the important things...
Are you reinventing the wheel there, though?
Not at all. But one of the things that Pat said that I think is really important is that you do not solve crime through the window of a squad car. You solve crime by being on the ground of the community. And I think Gardaí understand that. What we need to make sure is that we have enough of them to make sure that they're in the community in the way that they are in my own area. And I know community Gardaí are so, so important.
But I just wonder why you're talking about pilot programmes to try out something new when what you're being told by senior Gardaí is, let's just go back to what we were doing. That was the right thing to do.
No, because the suggestion is essentially that community policing is going by the wayside, and it isn't. In fact, it's a priority for the Gardaí now. They understand the need of community policing, and these are new models of community policing that are being put in place. They're much more innovative, much more intensive than the old, where you just had a community guard or a team of community Gardaí in a particular station. You now have this partnership that involves more than just the Gardaí. It involves local elected representatives as a person who chairs it. There's much more to it than a simple community guard. You're building a support network for that guard in the local community as well.
Okay, Verona Murphy, what do you think of that?
Look, I don't want to argue with Barry because I think this is far too it's very important that we establish whether or not we have community policing, and I think a lot of it was diminished over the row in relation to rostering arrangements. They are struggling to re-establish it, particularly here in Wexford. We have units that have not gotten back out to the district simply because they don't have the recruits to do so. So I think from my perspective here in rural Ireland, we certainly don't have the feet on the ground and we have very reduced visibility, which is something every time something happens, and it may be significant, it might be just a road traffic accident or something where people, the most frequent saying is, I never see a guard around. And, if we look at the figures that are being promulgated every day, we see figures that are being rearranged. There's 830 Gardaí in a 14-month period reported in Drew Harris's report this month. 838. If you take away the 169 resignations last year, that leaves 669 Gardaí, simply not sustainable. It doesn't even replace the number of retirees and those who are out in sick
leave. So what should be done then? Because, there has been this big recruitment drive, but they can't seem to get the people.
Correct. And I think, look, we brought a motion, as I'm a member of the regional group, and last October we brought a motion with certain recommendations that would have helped. I think certainly we're seeing figures of over 6,000 applicants for the latest recruitment drive, but they're just applications. Mm. We have no idea as to how many Gardaí are going to come out of that. But the reality is we have to look at the retirement age. We know from very recent reports from John Drennan that the figures by 2028, as much as 2,000 Gardaí can actually retire because they will be up to the age of whether they've served 30 years or 35 years, which is very, very worrying because we are not recruiting at the same pace.
Okay.
So I think there are lots of things can be done. I have reports of Gardaí who will remain anonymous, who are sleeping in cars in Dublin due to the fact that they are being stationed in Dublin whilst they may live in Wexford. Different things like that. You know, we have got to put common sense back in play when it comes to Gardaí. Visibility first. That's what society requires. I very much believe that where there is visibility, it is a deterrent with regards to crime.
Okay, let me put that to Barry Ward. And how do you get visibility, Barry Ward, when you don't have the numbers? I mean, there was actually a net decline in the numbers of Gardaí despite the big recruitment drive last year.
Well, I equally don't want to fight about Verona over numbers, but it's important to point out that in 2023, there were 746 trainees went into Temple Moor. That is larger than any number that's gone in since 2018. It's six times the number that went in 2022, for example. Mm. And the same number again will be targeted for this year.
Yeah,
so the numbers are there.
But the bit that matters, right, is that by the end of last year, the overall strength of the force was down by 135.
No,
The
bit that matters is that there are Gardaí coming through and we're going to meet the target.
Doesn't matter if the overall number is not increasing.
If I were sitting here saying we can't find the people to go into Temple Moor, when in fact we know that there's been a massive recruitment drive, we've had over 6,500 applications for Gardaí positions this year. That's the important detail.
Because the overall number is decreasing.
Today. No, it's not.
I'll
give you the figures now, Verona. I'll give you the figures that I got from the Department of Justice today. There were 319 retirements and 169 resignations in 2023. That's 488. There were 746 trainees taken in 2023. So, in fact, the important thing here is that the numbers are going up.
I'm looking at a report here from the Irish Times in February.
Let me explain to you what I mean.
There are
more people going into Temple Moor and joining on Gore the Síochána than there are leaving. So the numbers are going up.
And the target that was set by the government.
I'm not trying to do that, Fiona. But I'm trying to point.
Hang on
a second,
Fiona.
Can I finish the point that I was making first? Because what has been said to me is that we don't have the numbers. As I said, there's a hugely successful recruitment campaign going on. The same numbers again will be sought this year. We know there were 6,500 applications to go into Temple Moor this year. That is progress. The numbers are there and they will come on stream.
The primary here is if 169 Gardaí resigned last year, where is the exit interview to show us where the problems are? I mean, I know, for instance, from talking to Gardaí on the ground, the issues lay with pay, the issues lay with accommodation, the issues lay with transfers, all of these issues. But equally, we now have a model of policing that is very labour-intensive behind a desk. Therefore, we can't have visibility on the ground either through patrols or rural policing and community policing. So, Barry, whilst you may think that the numbers are going up, the numbers required to continue with this policing model are far in excess of what we would be used to in models that suit this country and are much more adept at providing visibility in policing. So I think there's no point in defending the indefensible. We have an issue, a very serious issue. If it's such a good job and there are no problems, why would 169 Gardaí resign? Not through injury,
Well, let me answer that because it's really important. 169 Gardaí out of 14,000 resigned because they clearly found better options. We cannot have a situation where Gore the Síochána is the best job ever. The reality is there will be jobs that will compete with. They won't compete, for example, in terms of stability. I suspect they won't compete in terms of the satisfaction of doing a good job for your community.
That is new, though, isn't it? Resignations from Gore the Síochána. The actual number is quite low.
Yes,
it is new in the last couple of years, and it's
a function of the fact that we have an incredibly successful economy with full employment and options for employees.
So what do you do
it's
then?
Now an employees market.
What do you market. Do to get Gardaí?
You ramp up the recruitment into Temple Moor, and that's why I said there were nearly 6,400 people applied to become Gardaí this year. But that's Sarah.
But
that's the figure.
Hang on a second, Verona,
because you've raised a number of issues there, right? You told us earlier we didn't have the numbers. They're the numbers.
They
far outstrip the number of places that are available. The plan is to have 1,000 recruits go through Temple Moor this year. And the money has been provided for that. But Verón raised a number of other issues in relation to exit interviews, for example. I've answered that question. In relation to the labour intensivity of what the Gardaí are doing, that's why...
Can I just ask you about exit interviews? Because Verona pointed to a number of issues that Gardaí have raised in those exit interviews about being tied to the desk, about the paperwork, about the conditions of the job. And I'm wondering, is anything being done to change those issues?
If you just, I didn't get to finish the sentence. I said there were numbers were there. Right? In terms of the labour intensivity, which is the issue that Verona raised, I answered the question about the reason people are leaving. It's a small number, as you said, and there are other options there for them. But in terms of labour intensiveness, for example, Helen McEntee put provision for 400 civilian staff to go into Ungar the Síochána. They are the people who will take over the role of the labour intensive, the paperwork side of it.
Okay.
Verona's raised a range of issues, but there are answers to them all.
Verona?
Well, unfortunately, at the time when we did provide a motion to the floor of the Dáil where we asked for face-to-face psychological support for Gardaí after traumatic incidents and assaults and all of that, none of that has been forthcoming. It hasn't increased. We basically have a system that is not working either for the recruited members, the existing members, or certainly for society. And we are seeing increases in crime, reduced visibility in Gardaí, and that will only lead to one thing, social chaos. So I'd ask Barry to take it very, very seriously. 6,500 applications does not mean new recruits. It means exactly that, just applications.
We did, Verona, get a statement from An Garda Síochána in relation to, I know you're mentioning social chaos there, but they said An Garda Síochána is working to address the perception of fear that some people have when coming into the city centre. This is talking specifically about Dublin but they say over 100 new Gardaí took up their positions in Dublin Garda stations in recent days to support the significant effort Gardaí have.
You are talking about Dublin. On a bank holiday weekend here in rural Ireland, I'm not going to mention the little village, a new shop opened some weeks ago in a rural community. Children, as I would call them, maybe teenagers, walked in on a Sunday and just ransacked, literally lifted everything off the shelf and walked out. A Garda station up the road, unmanned, closed, and that's what we're facing in rural Ireland. Closest Garda station 30 minutes away.
Okay.
The reality is that's not acceptable and that cannot go on.
And Barry says they're trying to introduce this new intensive form of community policing, so I suppose we'll see how that goes. I want to ask you, Verona Murphy, before I let you go, will you be supporting Simon Harris as incoming Taoiseach?
I think I'm probably one of the only independents who 3 weeks ago said I wouldn't be negotiating my position. The people of Wexford do not want a government-elected Taoiseach. They want an election. This government has had its day. People are fed up of it. They've lost the people. I think it's an election I'll be voting for.
And there were some rumours or speculation, perhaps is a better word, that you could be enticed back into the fold in Fine Gael. Is that something you consider under a new leader?
Well, I don't know where the rumour came from, but I would say absolutely not. Parties no longer serve the people. I'm elected by the people to serve the people and not the party. I'll be remaining independent. We've just recently launched an independent alliance here in Wexford very successfully. We had over 800 people in attendance at that launch, and they can see the merit in whereby you're elected by the people to serve the people. Mm. Parties are actually serving, first of all, themselves, parties second, and people not at all. So I think people have come to realise that by now.
There was some coverage of that. I know Ivan Yates was there and Michael McDool. Any chance of a new party emerging from all this?
But Sarah, you just missed what I said. We are not interested in party. We're elected to serve the people. We're independents. We won't be governed by a whip. We will be free to do as we wish in moral
issues.
Would you
run under an alliance? You know, like
we're an alliance of like-minded individuals who will support communities in such things like planning infrastructure. You hear today on the news, they're proposing to remove the rail line or have a changeover in Wicklow. I mean, in this day and age, we should be looking at a high-speed electric rail network for a country as progressive as Ireland. We're going backwards.
But that alliance that you're talking about, I know it'll be local for the local elections, but could it be a national alliance?
Of course it can be emulated. We're starting at the bottom because we believe that's where the electoral base is. We're tired of hearing governance from the top down. Basically, okay. TDs get elected in rural Ireland, but then they go to Dublin, and their one job is to bring the message back from central okay. government in Dublin to the people in their communities and constituencies who actually no longer want to hear that.
Right.
We're about serving the people.
Okay, that's one to watch. Thank you both for joining us. That is Rona Murphy and Barry Ward.